good? Everybody's ready for Thanksgiving? I'm talking on that tonight, and I can hear from your voices you're really not. I turned 55 to about 3 weeks ago, and I saw this, and I just want to share it with you before I start talking. I said, I see people around my age mountain climbing. I feel good about getting my leg through my underwear without losing my balance. Did anybody else see that? It just made me laugh, you know. Some of those greater things and pleasures in life as you get older, it's like, hey, I didn't lose my balance or fall against my dresser. It actually worked. Holiday season is here. Thanksgiving Thursday, Christmas month later. How's your anxiety level? How's your stress level? How's your financial condition going into the holidays? How's your worry? Those are the things that I'm going to talk a little bit about tonight, because you know, when I was talking to God about this message, it's in a lot of ways the holiday season is supposed to be our most joyous celebratory time, and it turns the church, the body of Christ, into something the complete opposite of that. First slide. Came out this morning. Time it takes Americans to get sick of family members during holidays. They polled 2,000 people. And this came out this morning. 3 hours and 54 minutes is the average time it will take none of you, but most of the world, to get sick of their family. Shocking, isn't it? It's shocking because it might only take you 12 hours, 2 days. Whatever that is with you, maybe never. Maybe you could spend weeks with your family. If you are, you're preaching on Mother's or Father's Day of this next year. But it's one of those things that we don't ever talk about, but it's real. It's like the Barna Group that does these surveys. We see things that Christians will say underneath their breath or when no one's listening or inside their mind. But when they actually come to a point to where someone asks them a direct question and no one's going to know who they are, they share their heart. See, the exact opposite of vulnerability transformation, because those are the things we should be talking about so they don't happen. See, the body of Christ is here just for that to happen, that when we have these family dysfunctions and that we don't ever get tired because we're actually carrying something that's different. When we actually see stress, anxiety, sadness, loneliness, lack, fear, when we carry hope, love, reconciliation, freedom, and joy, we carry these things into these environments and we know we have the key to unlock family traditions or family dynamics or dynamics with friends or spouses. We have that ability in us. But do we choose to have the courage to actually have those conversations to where it goes from 3 hours and 54 minutes to 3 hours and 55 minutes? And I said that on purpose, not as a joke, so you can last one more minute. That you can actually bring something that transforms where the family looks forward to you showing up in the holiday. That they can't wait for that door to open because light, hope, freedom is walking through a door that no one else has. And yes, they might judge you for it, but boy, they don't want you to go because it's something you carry. Go ahead. So who wants change? Who wants to change? Who wants to lead change? It's so quiet in here. See, everybody, if you ask everybody, who wants to change? You're going, yes, freedom. Who wants to change? Well, do I have to talk about something? Who wants to lead change? So all of you are going to go on Thursday, and hey, y'all might have great family traditions, okay? And that's awesome. And I'm not even talking about Thanksgiving. I'm not even talking about Christmas or only talking about it. I'm talking about life. Talking about life, not just in your family. I'm just picking on it because it's a week where we're going to spend a lot of time with our family. But when your friendships, in your office. If we want change, are you willing to change to see that change? And are you willing to lead that change because of what you carry? See, you carry Holy Spirit inside, and I know some of this. I'm repeating myself because I'm going somewhere with this, because I like to repeat myself because I want it to penetrate to where actually it causes people to take that step. That they actually want to see change in their office, in their marriages, in their families, in their friendships, and in their family. But even Jesus had a familiar spirit. He goes, aren't you the carpenter's son? You know, no miracles were done that day. Let me tell you something. You are not carpenter's sons. One of the things that happened in my life, and I'll give you a personal testimony, is when I actually got saved when I was 16, and most of you know some of the story, when I got saved, I was a wild child. But from that day till my, when I was 16, my father was 42, and he was the last one at 63, every one of my family members got saved. And it wasn't because I preached the gospel, it was because I loved them where they were. Though we fought, though we had challenges, I had the courage to tell them what was going on in my life and why I was changing. Now, all of you might have grown up in Christian homes and you read Bible verses at Thanksgiving and you celebrate and you get out the guitar and worship. Awesome. I'm talking about your friendships also. I'm talking about your office. But if you don't, it's one of those things where what is it that you're carrying that can break something in your family? Because in our families, that's our everyday life. We can shut our office doors. We don't have to call a friend. But you can't de-brother, de-sister, de-mother somebody. You can pretend you can, but you can't. They don't stop being your mother, father, brother, sister, you know, your kids. It doesn't stop. But somehow I've talked to people in the body of Christ that says, I'll never talk to my mother again. That son, he did this, and that's unforgivable. Well, I want to know what Bible you're reading. And I'm going to push you a little hard tonight. Like I don't usually every night I preach. It's because if the body of Christ is going to reflect what Jesus reflect to the world, that one, then 12 changed the world, what are we doing? What are we here for? See, I'm an 8 and a D. 8 on the Enneagram, a D in the disc. Y'all know what that is? You know, a D is a challenger. It's not hard to get that. See, the person that challenges you and holds you accountable loves you more than the person that watches you stay the same and settle for mediocrity. If you have friends that allow you to stay the same year after year after year after year, I encourage you to find new friends. Because it's almost like they're walking you to the grave in the same condition that you are today. Oh, they don't listen. Tell them again. They don't return my call. Text them you love them. Because if you're doing it out of changing them so you're happier with them, you're doing it with the wrong motive. But if you're doing it to them to see them set free in the name of Jesus, that they can actually love people and change the world themselves, it's amazing how that motive is never challenged. But is it your motive to see people changed? To see your families changed. Hey, there's circumstances that are very top echelon violations in family and with friends, and I get that. You know, there's all sorts of tragic stories, and you know what I'm talking about, and I understand those are more difficult. I'm talking about disagreements. And even that, in some regards, where Holy Spirit can come in. Because you're going to walk into a Thanksgiving dinner, or you're going to walk into the office, and I just want to know what we're going to be carrying as the body of Christ, because at the end of the day, if we're not changing the world's changing us. See, Paul tells us to rejoice in all circumstances. But when y'all think of the holidays, are you rejoicing for the holidays, for the time off, or the time with people? See, if you're rejoicing for the time off, then a lot of times it's just being alone. And that's not really, that's good for, if you're an introvert, to go and repower your batteries, get that. But celebrating Thanksgiving and celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus is such a family thing that if we don't like people, how do we reflect Christ's love to people? That's what we're commissioned to go out and get. We'll go out, you know, how about when you're Christmas shopping? I love Christmas movies, especially the ones that talk about the worst aspects of Christmas, like people beating each other over the head with dolls in boxes fighting over goods in Walmart. You know why it makes me laugh? It's the antithesis of the season. I mean, am I the only one that laughs at that? I mean, when you see two burly men beating each other with dolls because they grabbed the last one, and then we go, Merry Christmas, you know, with the doll with bloodstains on it to your daughter. Think about the cost of that doll. I'm trying to get to our hearts of where we are in this season, what we're reflecting. And I'm tired of the church just trying to entertain instead of being about transformation. See, good services build a church, but good relationships build the kingdom. We can have good services. Woo, walk out, fire, yada, yada, pray, tongues. You know, we can do all that stuff. But if we're not actually marked with an encounter, because churches with good services, you can encounter God. You can have a transformation experience and encounter. But it's how do you take it out there to the people that you love and don't love that counts. See, if it's don't think it's about relationships, relationships build a kingdom. That's how 12 became billions in the kingdom. 12 had to become billions, and they didn't have great church services back then. They loved people. They healed people. They fed people. Acts 3 or 4, they shared all things in common. They actually loved people they barely knew. They had dirty feet, sandy floors, you know, blankets to sit on, 105 degrees in the desert. And somehow, without air conditioning, a big band and music, and a, you know, well, not the most comfortable pews, but a nice place to sit, they changed the world with 12 people. If that doesn't set your heart on fire to what we can do with what we have, you know, are we the one with the 10 talents or the one talent? He's given us all these things to go out and change the world, but what are we doing with the talents that we have if we're complaining about what we got? And right in front of us are people that love us, that we're disconnected to. Right in front of us is a boss that's bringing you and paying a paycheck and we're dishonoring. Right in front of us are friends that aren't like us, but guess what? If they were like you, you wouldn't be their friend. There's a Jerry Seinfeld on that. He dated a girl just like him, and he realized he didn't like himself. And so it brings diversity in what we're doing. But it's an image of a diverse God that has so many different natures. And so are you celebrating the different natures of how God represents himself through different people, different expressions? That our Episcopal brothers and sisters and our Catholic brothers and sisters, they might not do it our way in worship or in speaking, but you know what? Are they out there loving on people? We're supposed to judge the fruit, not the process. But the process is what brings the fruit. If we can get that sink down, that our process is going to bear fruit, we can see change the world in how we encounter it. See, family, friends, and people are fun, aren't they? When they do what you want them to do and act the way you want them to act. I learned that being a church leader. But here's the thing. You can't grab what's in front of you if you're constantly reaching into the past. Well, this holiday, if we're constantly reaching the past, you can get 58 prophetic words about how you're going to change the world, and none of them will come to pass if you keep reaching in the past. That's not the way God works. If you keep reaching into the past, it's going to keep you in your present. And what happens is that you can declare things, but if you're still reaching in your past. If you can prophesy things, but you're still reaching into your past. It's like an anchor of your soul and of your spirit. Because, see, you want to keep crucifying Christ again, that you're not good enough, that you're not enough, that he didn't do enough to free you. That you don't have, the Holy Spirit's not fully powerful in you, but he is. But the question is, when are we going to step forward and represent him by allowing him to flow through us? See, the past becomes such an anchor because we allow it to paralyze us in our present because we're afraid to deal with it. There's such a theme in my messages. And a lot of it is dealing with your past, dealing with your present, so you can change the future. You can change the trajectory of your office. You can change the trajectory of your friendships. I'm alone. I feel lonely. What's going on? You know, I always feel rejected. Ha, there it is. I know why you're alone. You know, my family doesn't listen to me. Why? Because are you judging them or are you loving them? Even when they disagree with you. It's the way we carry ourselves and how we carry ourselves that actually allows transformation in another person. Jesus, no matter what environment he was in, he had the right actions. He responded, not reacted. The only time he reacted when he turned the tables over of the coin of the money changers. That was pretty much a reaction, but I bet it was planned. But how do we react to the past things when we're in our present? On Thursday, sitting around the table, how do we respond to past triggers to affect our present that influences our future? Are we going to allow that trigger, or are we going to go after the trigger? When your mom or your dad or your son or your daughter or your aunt or your uncle or your cousin or your, you know, aunt says something that sets you off, usually sets you off from a past experience, well, how do you handle it this year? At Christmas, if you don't get what you want, how is it? Seriously, I have ministered to people that didn't get what they wanted for Christmas. They thought it wasn't love. And so when I'm up here talking, I'm talking about personal testimony, I'm talking about testimonies that I've heard and things that I have witnessed. When I tell you that anxiety levels, loneliness, and depression and anxiety come up during the holidays, I'm not telling you because I think that. I'm telling you because I hear that. As a leader in a church, I get to hear it all. As a minister to men for 32 years, I get to hear when their anxiety levels go up. Most men is financial this time of year. Most women is that I've heard, and this might not apply to any of you, is am I enough? Am I doing good enough? Is everyone happy? Performance. Women are performers, men are providers in this type of season as a broad stroke. I'm not saying that's all of you, but it's a performer. Oh, can't wait for someone to compliment their decorations and the way the presents were wrapped. Men are going, oh, that's costing me a fortune. It's the stress of the world. But nobody talks about it. Nobody wants to have a conversation. They'd rather fight about it. And so as a result, anxiety just wraps up in front of us. And we keep grabbing from our past. See, when you change, people are going to hate you. They're not going to like you. I was so disliked by so many people when I changed, when I actually wasn't the party guy, when I actually didn't get angry when they wanted me to get angry, when I didn't react, but I responded. The first time I put up a boundary with my mother or my father or my brother or my sister, the first time they hit that boundary, they didn't like it. I mean, it took me, but listen, I didn't do this on my own. I mean, there was a time at the beach that my brother was penetrating, not only pounding my boundary, crawling over and hitting it with a bazooka. And I had Jeff and Anne-Marie and Kelly sitting at the beach going, stop it. Stop it. You got to stop this. I could have gone, you know, and I don't know, Jeff can speak to this, but I mean, knowing my personality, probably gave him a little pushback. But at the end of the day, they were right. And I stopped allowing him to push a boundary, which he hated, which then the monster grew uglier, but I stood my ground and said, no, this is the boundary that we're going to have, or we're not going to be able to be together for a while. And it angered him. Because, see, boundaries anger people. But also courage angers people, intimidates people. What I love about haters, how many of y'all, you know, if you're on any social media, you always hear the words hate is hate, all that kind of stuff. Hater is someone that's not even in the game. They wake up every morning and don't do what you do and tell you how you should be doing it. See, haters are always coming after people that they're not in the game due to your plan, but they want to tell you how to do it. And then they judge the way in which you do it. Believing happens in the church all the time. But the question I have is that when someone doesn't like the way you're not giving them what they want, do you have the courage to love them through it? Hey, I still get triggered today. I can still get triggered today. I can spend some time with certain people, and it's just like, oh, I'm looking for the ripcord. I am looking for the ripcord. 3 hours and 54 minutes is about 3 hours and 50 minutes too long. Not y'all? Yeah, Yeah. There's just like, you've got to be 4 minutes in a room is like 4 minutes in a dungeon with a certain people. And I'm, you know, by job description, supposed to love everybody. But I think I love everybody. I don't have patience for everybody. Jeff's like, that's why Jeff and I were so good as best friends. Because he has much more patience than I do for anybody. They call him the velvet hammer. I'm just a hammer. Okay, does that make sense to anybody? Is this helping anybody? I mean, we're getting ready to go into the season. And you know what? I could come up here and do some other message. But it's like, this is what's on people's minds right now. How am I paying for Christmas? How am I going to deal with this issue? Am I going to get enough time off? I don't get enough time off. My boss is making me work. And so we don't put up boundaries, and then we get plowed like every Christmas, every Thanksgiving. Here's the thing. I'm not going to tell you to follow this guy, but I'm in the sports space, and he's in the sports space, so I do follow him. He has horrible language. I think I've told you about him, named Gary Vaynerchuk. He's on Instagram. Listen, don't follow him. Don't follow him because he has horrible language. The reason because he's in the athletic space, so I follow him. But here's the thing. He has horrible language, but he has kingdom principles. It's crazy. I met him in the green room at the NFL draft a couple years ago, and, you know, I know his brother really well because we're all in sport. You know, he does agent work and marketing work, and I do financial advisory work for athletes. But it's amazing. If you do follow him, you know, follow him at the sensitivity of your own ears and eyes of cussing. Because that, I mean, the F-bomb is like the word "the" for him. But he has these kingdom principles that he comes out that you see it. I mean, sometimes he's more kingdom than most pastors I know. He is more kingdom than most pastors I know. You give me a kingdom guy that cusses over a church guy that doesn't, I'll take the kingdom guy that cusses any day. Because they're actually real transformational stuff. Church doesn't change you. The kingdom changes you. And so give me change with a couple F-bombs, no change with all looking good, and I'm golden. Because I can handle that. Right? Now, this might be offending some of you, but I'm okay with that. Because F-bombs shouldn't offend you all the time. It shouldn't trigger you. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go there on another message. But Christians go, oh. And it's like, dude, this is the world. You ought to go in my world, in the sports space, with NFL and NBA athletes. But guess what? I go in and I get in because I love them first. And then I can actually, where they trust, and I get their heart. And then I can talk to them about the things of the kingdom. Some of my best conversations are with some of the most powerful men in the NFL that I'm not going to mention their names. Because I've built trust and love them where they are. When you see all these people that are talking, I'm an influence of influencers, I'm doing this, and they're telling you about all their exploits, and you're going, no, go find somebody that a billion people know and love them for a long time till he lets you in. Then I'm going to tell you you're an influencer. Is your influencer because you have 5,000 likes on your Instagram? No. That's Instagram people you don't know. What heart are you influencing? What family are you influencing? Because there's a person, there's a family, and then there's a sphere around that person and his family. How are you impacting people like that? What is in you that actually people want to be around? I love the tattoo parlor and playing that stuff. Man, I got a tattoo here. I'm going to get one here one day, and you're going to do it. Because I want to watch that again. But that's what I'm talking about. Hey, he's just sitting there loving on people and tatting them up. Hey, any of you Old Testament people that think tattoos aren't right, then I'm a sinner. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people in here are tattooed up. But I'll tell you this, it's that kind of thing that I got this guy or girl for 2 hours on my table, and guess what? They're going to walk away with an encounter with a loving God. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. You could give that testimony every week. Because I tell you what, I'd love to see how those people come out. I bet they come out differently than when they walk in there, not looking differently just because they have ink on them, but they feel differently because they encountered something that was not natural but supernatural. But Gary says this, less envy of others, more actually being happy for them, because the world is abundant and what they are getting isn't coming out of yours. You're focusing on their lives is coming out of yours. Y'all hear that? Less envy of others, more actually being happy for them, because the world is abundant. And what they are getting isn't coming out of yours. Your focusing on their lives is coming out of yours. We focus on other people's lives and other people's need to change, and it takes away from our lives. We end up coming to the conclusion that if I can just focus on someone else's life and what they're doing, then I don't have a responsibility into loving those people. Because when they change, then I'll go in there. Think about how backwards that is, that Jesus went everywhere he wasn't wanted. He went to his home. He didn't do any miracles there. But actually, Jesus went everywhere he wasn't wanted. Pharisees didn't want to see him except to trick him. He walked into synagogues to preach, knowing they were waiting to stone him outside. They were questioning to the adulterous woman. They were trying to trick him to stone him, and he walked up. Are we walking in areas of our lives that make us uncomfortable to stretch who we are so we can see transformation in our communities, in our offices, in our families? I just think so many times the Galatians 6:10 always comes to my mind because of our church body and because of our family. It says, so then while we have the opportunity, let's do good to all men, especially those of the household of the faith. Because we can't take care of our own. Why does the world want anything to do with what we're doing? If we can't take care of our own, what do we have to offer the world except words about love, but no actions about love? And that's what Jesus said in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave. What are we giving to one another? What are we giving to the people who are closest around us that would reflect Jesus living in our heart? How do we respond instead of react to people around us, including our family, that actually would reflect what Jesus was doing into the world? And so I know I'm challenging you. That's my personality, but I'm challenging you because I don't want this to be a church of churchgoers. I want it to be a body of kingdom believers that want to see the world transformed by starting with the people that are closest in their life. Without people in my life like Jeff and Anne-Marie and Kelly, I mean, our friendship and our relationship, I'd be so different than I am today. But it was constant feedback in how I react or respond to people. And I've shared this before. Now, there's still times I might push back on them. I actually did it on my birthday night, but I can't live without it because I know y'all have heard me say the expression, if three people call you a jackass, buy a saddle. Yeah, I have many saddles in my garage. And I'm always told that by the people closest to me who love me. The people that don't love me don't tell me. They just say it, but don't tell me. They tell others. Don't do that. Not about me. I got thick skin. But that's a point I want to make. If you have a problem, don't talk to your problem about your brother to your sister. Don't talk to the problem about your mom to your dad. Go to your mom. Go to your sister. Go to your boss. Go to your friend. Don't talk to one friend about your problem with the other friend. Be a kingdom person that walks up and said, hey, we have to talk. You can't make them talk, but they can't stop you from pursuing in love. Does that make sense, guys? I mean, because when we do that, we gossip. And the problem's not, if the problem's with your mom, it's not with your dad, why are you giving that fodder? Now she's going to go back to your mom and say, I can't believe you're treating our daughter like this. And then they're going to fight. And then all you just didn't do, you started a fight amongst your parents because you were afraid to go to your mom. Did I say that too fast? Would you follow? If you got a problem with a coworker, go to the coworker. Don't get three other coworkers mad at him. Is this resonating with y'all? Because this is the most important stuff. What am I looking for here in an analogy? We could all fire the music back up again and get all whipped up. But if we're not walking out here looking at this basic relationship stuff of reconciliation, basic kingdom principles, and how do we live our life and reflect our lives, I don't want to do it. I don't. I don't want 800 people. I want 300 warriors that actually want to go out and change the world. I mean, you know that about me. I want to see transformation in each and every one of you to where we got to shut y'all down on testimonies, or we just have a testimony night because 300 people going, you're not going to believe what happened this Thanksgiving or this Christmas or in my office or in my marriage or with my friends. And it's like you can't even control the testimonies because we're the agents of change. We're actually taking the first step. And here's really what I want to talk about. The Lord gave me this. You think we could solve the world's problems by building something when we really solve the world's problems by helping build someone? Who are you building? When I say that, I'm not talking about in your image. If you're listening to this online, I'm not talking about your image. I'm talking about in Jesus. Who are you spending who is your someone or someones? Because we build big churches and we think we're changing the world. That's what the church does. The kingdom is one at a time. Like I said, there was Jesus and then 12. And they changed the world through relationship and encounter. They didn't change it with just good music and a good message. They didn't change it once a week. They changed it every day. And they changed it by being such full of the Holy Spirit that people encountered the Holy Spirit when they encountered them. And actually, it wasn't just I'm going to get a mark on my belt and give you Holy Spirit. It was actually that I love you because God loves you. You see, I love because I was loved first. And so we all have this innate ability through our Father to love people. And we can do that because He loved us first if we realize how much He loves us and that His Son, His power, His Holy Spirit lives inside us. And so we're not going to solve the world's problems by building more churches. We're going to solve the world's problems by building more people. And building them in a way that they can actually see people through God's eyes. Not through the church's eyes, not through rules, not through do's and don'ts. I mean, how many of you live in a world, business-wise, social, it doesn't matter where, wherever you are when you're out of here. Let's just make it that broad. That is nothing like what you believe in your work, in your free time. Just four of us. So everybody lives in a perfect world outside of us eight. So who lives in a world that you encounter hate, dissension, anger, frustration, anxiety, depression? Okay, sorry, this is very interactive. And the reason is because if you're lying to yourself and you're gonna walk out of here and not do anything because you think your life and your world is perfect, that everything is perfect. No, everyone I'm around, I mean, they whistle psalms and sing and praise, and they pray in tongues through the office. Everyone in my office, I float, matter of fact, in my office. I float into Thanksgiving, and my family receives me as an angel. I mean, that's what I'm getting at. How many of us are processing this stuff that we actually want to be an agent of change for the right reason, not for the wrong reason, not because, you know, we're getting marks on our belt that someone said the Lord's the prayer and they're in the kingdom, but they're actually living a kingdom life. Not the church, but. When we lack intimacy with people, what ends up happening a lot of times is they disconnect from us. And when people disconnect from us, we lose them. Because they can look at us as judgmental, they can look at us as irrelevant, holier than thou. See, there's one of the biggest things that I think preaches the gospel better than anything is seeing someone in need and fulfilling it. I think in this season, and I am talking about financial need, but I'm also talking about just need. Nothing preaches the gospel like fulfilling a need. Because when you fulfill a need that you expect nothing in return, people that don't know the Lord, or people that do know the Lord that are in a church mindset, will notice something different about you. That there was something different about your gesture, about your action, that is different than most. that there was no strings attached. See, when people go overseas and all they want to do is say they preach the gospel and people got saved, but the people are hungry, that agitates me. So you love them enough to let them starve. So you got them saved, so when they die next week, they go to heaven. That sounds a little harsh, but it happens all the time. I go to Ethiopia. We try to make self-sustaining villages because we don't want to leave and have them be hungry or have no water, but they got saved. Now, it's important for them to get saved, but hear my heart behind this. At this season, there's people out there that have nothing. There's people that don't even know what a Christmas present is or a turkey for Thanksgiving or what a warm coat looks like. There's people that are lonely that actually they're going home on Christmas Day. Someone in your office, someone in your family are going to be alone. And the gospel says something about that. The gospel says something about that, that we actually don't do it and then post how many street people we have in our house and how good we are, but actually there's a heart behind that these people that are on the streets that you actually want to feed, you love, that you actually want to make a tangible difference in their lives. See, when I was saying those things at the very beginning about loneliness, depression, anxiety, lack, frustration, all those things that take place during the holiday season, it's there the rest of the year. It's just less noticeable. Surprise. Because the church, the body of Christ, the kingdom of God is always pushing forward. The question is, are we going to be with the movement? Because sustained generational revival takes place one person at a time with one person with the heart to love another. And in these next few weeks, there's people out there when everyone is joyful, when everyone is reading, seeing TV advertisements and Facebook posts about everybody's wonderful family Christmas and gifts and Black Friday and all these things, that it's not even in the realm of anything they can do. Those are the people that we can reach. And guess what? The people that have no concept of what I'm talking about, those are the people I want to reach too. Not the people that don't have anything, the people that have everything. That have no concept of people that are in need. Because when you give unto the least of these, you've given unto him. One of our most powerful times here at Kingdom Life is when I did a message. It's not because of me. I didn't even have notes. This was just downloaded message. I don't know who was here in the generosity message when we preached. And at this one point where we're talking about, when did I do this unto you? He said, when you did it to the least of these. And all this different things that was going on. I don't even know if I have notes on it because it just was a download of generosity. And I took $5,000 out of my pocket and I threw it in a fishbowl in the front of the church. Have I told the story? Okay. And so I put $5,000 in there. Jeff and Kelly and everybody had credit card things. And I said, if you have need, come up and take. Well, some of the old churches I went to, are they going to be good stewards of it? I don't care. It's not mine, it's God's. And if they want to come up and take, and that's good stewardship, but said, let's come if you have need. And when the first person walked down, the entire church broke. That the givers were beating the receivers up here to put more money in the bucket, to swipe their credit cards, to give checks into it. And because I wanted to tell the body, the message was that there was no need amongst them. Because if there is need amongst us, we can't solve the world's needs, but we can solve the needs around us. And how do we solve the world's needs around us? Is by actually looking into our family, into our friends, and the people we don't know, and giving into those needs. Because needs is the gospel. Needs feeds the gospel, because God will attach himself to a need and say, this is how he's showing up to that specific person. It might be babysitting someone's kids. It might be buying Christmas. It might be giving someone a turkey. It might be doing an older person's lawn. It might be fixing something. Whatever a need is, it might be just going up to a friend and putting your arm around him and saying, I'm here. I don't know what to say, but I'm here. That it's actually not an inconvenience to your schedule. That actually someone has value, that your schedule is secondary to a need. That you don't sit there and put up false boundaries that I was talking about earlier and say, oh, this is a boundary I have. What, loving people? So my question is that what is it that we're going to carry, that we're going to see needs met in this season? And then at this season, because it's elevated, because the TV and all the advertisement elevates the season of need, that it actually lasts beyond this month. That January 1st, it's still here. June 16th, it's still here. August 24th, it's still here. November 8th, it's still here. That this generosity of giving into the body that people have is always here because it's in us. That we actually were going to reflect the love of God to where people are getting their needs met even when we don't have it. And if you can't meet a need, I guarantee you know somebody that will meet that need. Hey, there was a time, and I've shared this in, I don't know what year it was, when I was dead broke. And I couldn't meet need. Well, I'd call my friends to meet needs. Hey, there's a need over here. And have them cut checks. Why? Because there was a need. Do y'all looking at me like you don't have friends that you could go to and say, hey, there's a starving family or this guy needs something done. I had my friend Jeff Bailey told you this when we were dead broke, paid my taxes 1 year. Will we get interactive afterward? But it's, are you willing to receive and give according to your need? Are you willing to show up for somebody? Are you willing to, if you have resources or no resources, to go and find them for somebody that's in need? How far are you willing to go? It's just a question for you. How far are you willing to go to fulfill need in someone's life? Not to sacrifice your marriage, your family. That's given. So if you listen to this online, I'm not to sacrifice your family or, you know, don't quit your job to go fulfill a need. That's what, I'm not talking about that. But this is a 365-day event. It's a 365-day heart. It's elevated now. That's why I want to talk about it before Thursday. Where are you fulfilling need? Which leads me to this, and I'll close with this. If you have need in here right now, we're not going to do it. I didn't bring any cash. We're not doing the same thing. But if you have need in here now, I don't want you to raise your hand. If it's going to be trouble providing Christmas for your family, food on the table for the next month, you're about to get evicted, rent, we're not paying college tuition, we're not funding your company, we're not funding your 501(c). Believe me, that night, it happened. We're talking about need. If you have need, don't be prideful. Don't be prideful. It's like when you gave yourself to the Lord, you had to give up something. And that was the pride to say, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I need you, right? An act of humility. And I say the same thing about this. That there's an act of humility to say, I have need. Hey, I had need. And I reached out, I didn't actually reach out. My friend knew I had need without me even asking and gave. But you know when people have need. You know when you have need. And here's what I want you to do. If you have need, I'm going to have me email you, Chuck. Just chuck@kingdomlifesa.com. chuck@kingdomlifesa.com. And let us know your need. Let us know the urgency of your need. Is it like this week, next month? But if you have need, let us know. And one thing I promise you, we will prayerfully consider it all. Not every, like I said, there are boundaries to needs. Meaning like I've named some of them, it wasn't an exhaustive list, you know. I am a financial advisor, so we will look at it from, we're not going to fund a habit or a lifestyle. But if this holiday season, Galatians 6:10 is alive and here tonight. So then, while we have the opportunity, let's do good to all men, especially those of the household of the faith, that there was no need amongst them. And so I encourage you, if you have excess, give generously to Kingdom Life over the next few weeks, because we're going to give it away. Seriously, if you need, reach out. Because I know, I don't know everyone's position, but I know with 200 people, there's probably at least 20 to 30 people that have needs. And I don't want you to feel guilt, shame, condemnation, rejection, or pride. I want you to feel free. It is for freedom that Christ sets you free. Freedom. And what did God say? You can enter the throne room with joy. He's a good father. So I want to encourage you to email Chuck. And the reason, if you email My Kingdom Life, I check it maybe once every 2 weeks. Because I got a business address, so Chuck checks his every day. Does that resonate with y'all? Stand with me. Father, we thank you not only for to celebrate the season of Thanksgiving, because we're thankful for what you did with your son on the cross. We're thankful for the sacrifice. We thank you, Father, for your love, your sacrificial love. We thank you, Father, for the Christmas season, the birth of your son, for he came into the world to save us, to save us from just a life of nothing into a life of joy and freedom. And so, Father, I pray that through this whole process tonight, that you move hearts just to be able to understand what giving's about. Giving of time, resources, giftings, anything and everything that it represents your nature, that we would give it away freely. Everything that you deposited in us, we would give away freely to others that know you and don't know you. Because there's people that know you that need something, and there's people that don't know you. May the people that don't know you hear the gospel and walk into the kingdom as world changers. Because, Lord, we know we can't change the world without you, and you know we can't change the world without being transformed. So, Father, get us in our process of transformation. Change our mindsets. Change the way we look at the holiday season. Change the way we interact with our family. Change the way we see our family, not as from the past that affects our present, that impacts our future, but we actually see them who they are totally here in the present and then prophesy into their future of who they are. I pray that we can actually prophesy into our family and friends, the people that we've actually set aside and put boundaries around, that we actually can prophesy into their future, that they can come and know the Lord, come into the kingdom, come into a revelation of transformation and reconciliation. And I just pray, Father God, that you give us the hearts to see everyone as you see them. And so we bless you now. We bless everyone's finances here. We bless everyone's holiday season. May it be different. May this night here mark you differently, that you walk in to your office tomorrow, to your home tonight, to see your family over the holidays, and may you carry a mark of difference in there that they go, what is up with you? And I just bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.